Live from Brighton, Florida this morning, Pittsburgh Pirate broadcaster Bob Walk joining us for his third installment of the Pittsburgh Pirates Spring Training Reports. We'll talk to Bob this morning and then also on Monday to wrap things up before the regular season. Bob, Pirates were off yesterday, but really it probably didn't matter if the Pirates played or not, in the sense that all eyes and all sights are set on the Jared Jones situation. This week it came out that he essentially was going to miss his next spring training start with elbow discomfort, and the team, as well as Jones, was looking for a second opinion. As we get ready to roll into the regular season, that is really not good news, especially with him being asked once again to anchor a part of that rotation. What have you been hearing? How significant is this discomfort injury based on what you've seen or heard?
Well, it is something that's very disturbing that this has happened. You know, we talked Friday. You kind of, you know, wondered, okay, you know, why did Harrington get that start on Tuesday night?
Mm-hmm.
It was Wednesday we talked about that, or not Tuesday night, but Tuesday afternoon. And you know, I was talking about and at that time I was like, wow, I wonder why he did. I asked some questions over there Tuesday, and nobody really. I didn't pointedly say, "Hey, well, is Jones okay?" But the fact that he's not making his start in Harrington is, and he's not pitching over at minor league complex like they sometimes do.
Sure.
Then that was a huge red flag that something might be happening now. You know, I'm not a reporter. I just do the ball game. So
sure.
I didn't want to really touch it. We kind of stayed away from that subject and even talking on Wednesday, because nothing had been said. You know, Wednesday morning. But I think that's why you don't really touch something like that, because this is kind of a big deal. You know, it's not like, oh, he's going to miss a start in spring training. Here at the end of spring training, I mean, there's no way he can't. From what I can see, go on the IL. I mean, how is he going to be ready now for the season?
Yeah,
he's going and getting all these other opinions and stuff. Well, you know, Monday, we're going down to Fort Myers and then get on the airplane to Miami, where we're going to start the season. So there's not enough time to do all this and then say, okay, yeah, he's all right. And so it does, make me nervous. And, I kind of talked around a little bit about, when you have a starting rotation, you have to have contingency plans, no matter how good and how deep you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that depth is the young guys like Harrington. At some point of the season, you're going to have to dip in. You just hope it's, not in the first couple weeks of the season. But we lost, a couple of, starters, one to a trade, Oviedo. I don't know how long he's going to be out, but it looks like probably at least half of the season at least. So, and now you have a third guy that there's some major questions about. Anytime it's the elbow, especially on these hard throwers, it's like, wow, nobody wants to say Tommy John, but that's the first thing that comes to everybody's mind, and people will whisper about it. But you hope that's not it; that it's just something else, maybe in that same general area, maybe just a little tendonitis in the elbow, something like that. But we just have to hold our breath now for this next week and find out what's wrong with it.
Along with injuries and roster moves, of course. The team will make final cuts and cut down to the regular season roster. This week, Jason DeLay, some cuts came down, including Jason DeLay, who was kind of fighting for a backup catcher spot. Of all the cuts so far, have any surprised you?
No, not yet. The guys that they're really waiting quite a while to make these decisions. I was talking about this with one of the coaches down in Port Charlotte day before yesterday about, you know, what, how many guys are still in camp, and you know, it tells you that some of these decisions are going to be a little on the tough side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have so many people in the bullpen, and they're putting it off until as late as they can. Make sure they don't make a move and then have somebody get hurt, I guess, at the end of the end of spring training, like what it looks like might have happened with Jones. And now you've cut somebody loose that you wish you had right back. So they're waiting as long as they can to, you know, make these decisions. You know, sometimes there's trades also. You know, they don't want to just – if there's somebody that is that they don't have a spot for, but – they know somebody is going to grab if they cut them loose, you know, a veteran guy in the bullpen at the end of spring training. Well, they'd rather try and make some trade with somebody and maybe get some kind of a minor league asset back if they can. So, you know, that's those kind of things are going on right now, too.
Bob, with the players who have been cut or maybe the ones that are hanging on that you expect possibly will start the season in the minors, is there one or maybe two players that has impressed you, even in limited action in the spring, to the point where you expect to see them in Pittsburgh if they don't make that final roster?
It's just spring training,
and
I'm gonna throw a name like Swinski, for instance. I'm gonna throw his name out. This is spring training. He had just an absolute disaster of a season last year. Lost his starting job, lost his spot on the roster, got sent to AAA where he really was horrible even down there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was somebody that everybody was really counting on. The first couple of years, he'd hit 40-some home runs, and it was like, you know, this guy is going to be one of our main run producers. And then such a huge disappointment last year. And now they've went out and they've made other decisions about the outfield and there's really no spot for him at this point to really be out there. I don't see what they're going to do. Now he's tearing up. He's hitting the ball extremely well, and all of a sudden down here in spring training, it looks like he's got something figured out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what do you do with this guy now? You know, that's one of the things that, and you got, you know, Jiwon Bae also, who's been up a few times to the big leagues with the club and has never been able to really stick it out. He's got all that speed. You think of all the different things he can bring to the table. And this spring training, he looks like a different guy. I mean, he's not only getting on base, he's driving the ball in opposite field gaps, getting doubles, you know, using that great speed to steal bases. You're like, wow, maybe he's finally ready. And that's, I guess, what really makes this time of year tough is, like, what do you do with these guys? Is this guy we're seeing for 30 at-bats here in the month of March what we're going to get, or are we going to get what we saw last year? And that's why those guys get paid to make those decisions, because who knows? But those decisions will have great effect on what's going to happen, especially early in the season.
With the way that the game has changed, Bob, since you played, I mean, there's probably just a never-ending list from, you know, the mid-90s to current day, the rule changes that have happened. But one that really seems to be gaining a lot of steam, they're already kind of implementing it in the minors, is like kind of a robotic strike zone check back type of ordeal. As a former pitcher, and I meant to ask you this last year when we talked, but it just popped into my head. The idea of a robot strike zone, as a former pitcher, where do you land on that? Because I think probably there's been moments in your career where you would have loved to have a strike that wasn't called one, and then there's probably, you know, been other times where maybe you got the benefit of a call that you didn't want reviewed. Where do you land on that as a former pitcher?
Well, I've always liked the human side of the game. I wish they would keep all forms of this stuff out of it. I mean, I don't care about you know, reviewing, you know, tag plays to see if the, the fielder pulled his foot, you know, a quarter inch off the back, you know, too early or something. I don't care about any of that stuff. You know, I think the game of baseball was nice and it was pure and I liked it like that. But, you know, I also realize that I'm in the minority and that, you know, everyone else, most other people like all this stuff. And so we've gone down this road. So I'm at the point now that as long as it, you know, is kind of minimal as far as the way it is used during the game, you're not now all of a sudden having to stand around and wait for, you know, this or that. I think on the challenges on is this guy out at second base or safe at second base, for the most part, they've been able to speed that up a decent amount. I still hate it, but it's not like taking nearly the time it took early on. And with the ball strike stuff, it's real fast. It's almost, you could almost say it's instantaneous as soon as somebody wants it challenged, because it's already on a screen somewhere, whether it was a ball or a strike, they know immediately. And if they wanted to, which is, they might end up going doing this, you know, down the road. I think it's just natural progression. I mean, they could put an earpiece into the umpire standing behind home plate, and the little computer voice, Siri or whoever, could say ball or strike, and he could either raise his right arm or not, and everybody would know, just like they do now. So, I think the ball strike thing actually is less obtrusive into the game, and then you know, having to stop and go to New York and have them watch four different you know, views of a slow motion replay before we find out if somebody was out or safe. So the ball strike thing, I know it's a long winded answer, but it probably bothers me less than anything else.
Live from
Brain. And I'll tell you, in real life, when I played, if you were a young pitcher, you didn't get very many borderline calls. The older you got, if you're a 10-year vet, especially if there was a young guy up there, the plate was a good 3 or 4 inches wider than the rule book said. You know, that's kind of the way things were, and you accepted that, and then everybody told you that. You know, as you're a rookie, they're going to say, hey, you know, when there's a Willie Stargell at the plate, you're not going to get that pitch. You know, and it just, you accepted it, and vice versa. There was just a little bit of a, you had to put in your time. You had to become a vet if you wanted to get close pitches.
Live from Bradenton, Florida this morning, Pittsburgh Pirate broadcaster Bob Walk joining us. Bob, always enjoy getting a chance to sit down and talk with you, and we'll wrap things up on Monday. You have a good weekend.
All right, Garrett. We'll probably know the cuts by then for sure.
All righty. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.